If you watch the NBA, it has changed so much over the years. Dan, the rules are so relaxed.
I go watch the game. There's no more creativity. There's no more imagination. We have basically robots running up and down the court.
The physicality that was a part of the league.
But if you know who you are, you should look at it as information.
You can't hand check. You can't contest shots.
Really heavily weighted right now with a three-point shot.
But Adam Silver was talking to the media. He acknowledged that television ratings have fallen on a cliff. But one of his lines was, listen to this, well, we're at the point where our social media audience is at the highest of any league. Yeah, congrats for crushing Twitter, IG, and TikTok.
The NBA isn't just changing, it's dying. Once upon a time, the NBA was raw. It was personal. It was built on playground battles, trash talk, and a relentless hunger to prove you belong.
There wasn't many free layups, and there was nobody helping you up off the ground.
But now, the game feels like it's being played in a science lab instead of on the streets. Numbers run the league. Analytics say mid-range is bad, defense is optional, and the best offense is just chucking threes. Once a battleground for the toughest, most relentless athletes, today's NBA feels more like a luxury sport. One where only the wealthy can afford to make it, and where passion is taking a backseat to analytics. Some say the game is evolving.
These players today are sitting in the gym. They will mollywop your asses, you 80s. For real.
Others say it's losing its roots.
Make sure that the savior is okay. That wasn't the way it is.
Bill and Beer cannot play basketball today.
So, is the NBA really dying? Or are we just witnessing a league evolve into something completely different? Well, NBA legends have a lot to say about it.
People always used to say, Shaq, you take a beating. It wasn't a beating. I loved it. And now, 15, 20 years later, you got guys shooting threes. It's cute.
Something's off with the NBA, and even the people inside the league can feel it. Joe Mazzulla just led the Boston Celtics to their 18th championship. He should be the NBA's biggest fan. But when asked about watching other games, his response?
I add to that. I don't watch NBA games, so I'm just as much a problem as anyone else's.
Is there a reason for that?
I don't like watching the games.
A head coach of the reigning champions admitting he finds today's NBA boring. If that doesn't tell you something's wrong, I don't know what does.
So today, we've got a green light for these guards and small forwards to get to the rim now, and you have to play them perfectly without the hand contact or the forearm. When you talk Oscar Robertson and you talk Michael Jordan, you know what I said to the guys? When you don't believe what it was like in the 70s and 80s, will you please watch the documentary on the Detroit Bad Guys? And nobody got thrown out of those games. And you saw guys flying into the stands. Mike, you were there. Come on. I mean, it was a joke. I mean, today you would, on one hit, you'd be suspended for a month here, okay? And that's why it's hysterical when these guys are bitching about going to the rim. They don't know what it was like to go to the rim in the 70s and 80s because you might not get up again.
But then it's not just Mazzulla. Fans have been tuning out for years. Over the past decade, NBA ratings have dropped 48%. ESPN reported that 2024 regular season ratings were down 28% from the previous year alone. So, why is this happening? One reason is that basketball has slowly turned into a sport for the wealthy. Once upon a time, if you had a ball and a hoop, heck, even a milk crate, you could play. That's how legends were made. But now the path to the NBA runs through expensive AAU circuits, elite training camps, and private coaches. If you're not coming for money, good luck keeping up. Even as a fan, just watching the NBA has become a luxury. Gilbert Arenas summed it up perfectly.
It's expensive to watch games now. It used to be free.
You're spending a lot.
You know how much league pass costs?
League pass, and you don't even get all the games.
You don't even get the games in your own city.
You don't get the Laker game.
Yeah, you don't even get your own teams and your city's games on league pass.
Like, the reason that is
get you some cable.
No. That now makes you buy cable, too. So you got to buy cable for your own teams, and then you got to buy league pass to get the league pass stuff. So what ends up happening is the distribution of games now. They're harder to find.
No wonder fans are checking out. But it's not just about money. The NBA's problem runs way deeper. But it's not just accessibility or a lack of passion that's turning people away. It's the actual game itself. Watching NBA games today can feel like hitting repeat on the same track over and over again. Threes, layups, more threes, no post play, no mid-range, no creativity. It's all about what the analytics say is the most efficient shot. LeBron James, a player who's adapted to every era, has even noticed how stale the game has become.
Our game is, it's a lot of fucking threes being shot. So it's a bigger conversation, just the All-Star game.
What do you
want to say? I can't do that today. Not Sacramento. Sacramento, though, I love you guys, but yeah. You can't give you this conversation today.
And he's not the only one. Charles Barkley recently called out one of the worst games he's ever seen, a matchup between the Warriors and Mavericks that turned into nothing but a glorified three-point contest.
The Warriors played the Mavericks. It's one of the worst games I've seen. They just, I think it was 140, 130. They just went up and down the court and shot threes. And I was like, man, this is awful to watch. You're just going to have a three-point shooting contest every night. So I think we got to figure out something. The fan, because the most important thing of the game is the fans.
Yeah.
And if they're not watching, you can't keep your head in the sand. You got to say, what are we doing wrong? And like I say, it's frustrating for me because all it is now is a three-point shooting contest and a free throw contest. And I don't like it. They can get mad, but I don't want to go see a three-point shooting contest every night. That ain't no fun.
And then there's Shaquille O'Neal, who really isn't a fan of this modern play style.
It's down because we're looking at the same thing. Everybody's running the same plays, the damn top of the key, dribble handoff. I was talking to a coach yesterday. He said they want to shoot 50 threes. But, you know, they were trying to contemplate if I could play in this era. And it's like, yo, Shaq, we would just shoot 50 threes. And I was like, well, how much you want to make? We want to make about 10 or 15 of them. I was like, well, that's not going to help you win. But I think everybody's looking at the same thing. And Steph Curry and those guys messed it up. Like, I don't mind Golden State back in the day shooting threes, but every team's not a three-point shooter. So why everybody has the same strategy, I think it makes the game boring.
But then Shaq took it even further.
The game has already been perfect ever since Naismith, you know, created it. It's perfect. We as humans it up. Excuse me. This new era of humans is it up because the way they did it was good. The way we did it, we boom, 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 boom. Golden State came in and changed it. And you made a great point. It's a copycat league. Everybody wants to be Steph Curry, but everybody's not Steph Curry. And that's why viewership is down. But these dudes need to wake up because the viewership now, the money going to come down, and everybody talking about $80 million.
And he's got a point. Back in the day, teams had identities. You had inside-out offenses, mid-range assassins, bruising post scorers. Now, every team plays the same, spamming high pick-and-rolls and launching threes like there's a bonus for hitting a certain quota. The problem? When everyone plays the same way, the game loses its unpredictability. And when you know exactly what's coming, why bother watching?
Phillips knocks down.
But it's not just the three-point obsession that's ruining the NBA. It's the complete lack of defense. Back in the day, defense wasn't just a suggestion. It was a badge of honor. Teams took pride in shutting down opponents, making every basket feel earned.
Breaks it up, goes back, up he comes. Gatling swats it away. Kemp powers in with a jam.
But now, the rules are so offense-friendly that defenders might as well be playing with their hands tied behind their backs. And for Steven Jackson, the NBA's problem is about integrity.
Well, for me, I think the integrity of the game is gone. You know, I think that's what's lost. You know, people fighting for to get on the court, people dying to play 82 games. People, you know, just that attitude, that old attitude of the game that some guys still have. It's not everybody. It's not everybody. A lot of guys in the league still have it, but as a whole, as the league, as an identity for the league as a whole, it don't have that tough, every night I'm going to watch these guys, they're going to compete and try to kill each other to win. You don't have that feel when you watch NBA basketball, and it really doesn't get that way until the Western Conference, Eastern Conference finals, and then the finals. That's what most people watch. So, it's a lot of guys that love the game like we did and play still want to play that way. You know what I mean? And even though he's not a – entertaining guy to watch. He's not dunking and shooting threes, doing all the exciting stuff. But you gotta, you love great guys like Draymond who play the game that way, right? They play the game that physical way. They would do anything with the will to win, right? You don't have too many guys, so the integrity of the game has been shot. Just shooting threes and, you know, just not having big men in their bank. Like, just all that in the hole is really the reason why I think the viewership is down. And I think the only way they can get that back is go back to the old style of play.
And then there's Draymond Green, one of the few players still carrying that old school mentality. He straight up called today's NBA boring.
I think the physicality has been taken out of the game. And to me, that's boring. The old style of refereeing will come back, where if you've earned stripes, you get a better whistle. That's just the way it used to go. And now it's not that way. And then you question why is the game boring? You know, Michael Jordan used to get calls, but not the rookie coming into the league. He ain't getting no call. The rookie coming into the league got a call, or thought he was going to get a call. He turned to the referee and said, "You ain't call that." And he said, "Who are you? Why would I call that for you? What have you done?" So I think the human element has been taken out of it. And I don't think that makes for a great product.
But then there's another problem that might be even worse: load management. If you bought a ticket in the 90s, you knew you were getting to see the best players on the court every night, no excuses. But now fans are dropping hundreds of dollars just to find out that the superstar they came to see is resting. And Magic Johnson hates it.
Save up your money, buy some tickets for your kids, and then they go to see their favorite player, and he's just resting. What's your take on that? But then I guess the players say they need a rest. I don't know. You hate it.
I hate it. I dislike it. Michael, I was just at Michael Jordan's 60th birthday party. He pulled me to the side. And, you know, we talked about that for 30 straight minutes.
Because really? Back in the day, you
played every game.
There's no rest.
We wanted to play every single game. We couldn't wait to get out there on the court. Mm-hmm. And it's about your ego, your passion, your love for the game. It's about those fans who, like you said, pay their hard-earned money to watch you play this game of basketball. And then we're getting paid to play something that we love.
Sure.
I mean, right. You know, so you got to get out there. And last but not least, it's about your team, where you stand.
Yeah.
You're losing games when you sit out.
Yes.
And so I dislike it. I hope they get rid of it. And for the fans and for the organization and for the overall health of the game.
Yeah. I appreciate that take.
And he's right. It's one thing if a player is injured, but when stars are choosing to sit out when they're healthy, it sends the message that the regular season doesn't matter. And if players don't care, why should we?
If you get paid to go to work, you got to go to work.
It was a situation that he was seeing almost daily. He had lost the structural stability in his spine. So it would slip into abnormal positions to try and lock itself to get an artificial stability. That's like getting your finger stuck in a door and somebody's still pushing on the door. So what we had to do was unlock his spine, realign it, do techniques that would hold that for 4 hours, 6 hours, that type of thing, and then he'd go play basketball.
Every time I would play, I was wondering if I was going to be in a wheelchair. Was I ever going to be able to, you know, walk on the beach or hold my kids?
His pain and his quest for basketball became all-encompassing. Very few people really knew what Larry was living with, because this was Larry's issue, and there was no sharing of his pain.
You know, I probably should have retired in 88, 89, but it's that competition. Maybe one more chance, maybe Magic get together in the finals.
But if there's one thing that really highlights how far the NBA has fallen, it's the decline of its marquee events. The All-Star Game is a glorified layup line, and the dunk contest, once the most exciting part of All-Star Weekend, now a revolving door of guys most casual fans barely recognize. And Magic Johnson couldn't hide his disappointment.
What's happened to the rivalries in today's game? Like, I mean,
we don't hate each other.
That's
they don't like
See, I hated Larry and every Celtic. I really don't like you, but you're my little brother. Now I love you because you're out of that green and white. But
somewhat.
That's what it was, right? You the Celtics, Lakers hate each other, disliked each other. So it made for great TV and people tuning in. And now with, I don't know if it's AAU, I don't know what it is. Now everybody's shaking each other's hand. Everybody like each other, won't go at each other like really hard. Even that's what happened to the All-Star game, see?
Yeah.
See, the
and
All-Star
carried into the All-Star game. Right there.
See, we hated the East.
Right.
I'm coming to bust you.
Right.
Michael, Isaiah, Dr. J. Look, you can't have one over me. See, I'm coming to get that.
Akeem. Blocked by Barkley. Barkley blocks Akeem. Only 6'4 and a half. He did it.
Yes.
And the extra pass by Bird to Ewing.
Now, okay,
Magic. This is what
let
I said.
Let him score 200 to 200.
What is that?
And it's not just the All-Star game. The entire league has softened. Back in the 80s and 90s, the NBA had identity. It was built on rivalries, physicality, and a variety of playing styles. The Pistons' bad boys made their mark with bruising defense. Hakeem Olajuwon dominated the post with footwork straight out of a masterclass. And Michael Jordan was the ultimate mid-range assassin. Every team had a distinct way of playing. The variety made the league feel alive. But then, branding happened. According to Stephen A. Smith, today's NBA players are more focused on business relationships than basketball rivalries.
Remember how we used to sit up there and talk about how Jordan was an assassin and LeBron was such a nice guy and such a nicer human being and getting along? You know what happened to that, ladies and gentlemen? Branding, that's what happened. Everybody saw a way to cultivate relationships with one another, ultimately doing business with one another or advising one another on how to do business and get more money and all of this other stuff. And as a result, everybody was about brand protection. But they ain't the only ones. The NBA is guilty of this too, because you took the physicality out of the game to a lesser degree. The NBA saw in the 90s that the game wasn't as attractive as it used to be. Started implementing rules and regulations to take out some of that physicality. And as a result, hate dissipates too. Because if somebody ain't getting away with knocking you upside the damn head, or they know doing so could get themselves ejected, suspended, fined, etc., it's going to be less of that.
And the NBA itself is guilty too. The league saw physicality declining ratings in the 90s, so they changed the rules. They took out the grit. And when the physicality disappeared, so did the hate. So now, instead of competing, guys are dapping each other up, exchanging jerseys, and taking it easy on each other. Instead of rivalries, we get collaborations. Instead of intensity, we get friendship. And that shift is sucking the life out of the game. At its core, basketball has always been about creativity, the ability to make something out of nothing, to improvise, to find new ways to dominate. But thanks to analytics, the NBA has lost its edge. The rise of analytics in the 2010s changed everything. Teams like the Warriors cracked the code, proving that threes and layups were the most efficient shots. That revelation sparked a revolution. But instead of evolving the game, it flattened it. Now, every team plays the same way, and Lou Williams sees the problem loud and clear.
What do you think about today's game now? As you sit back and you kind of analyze it as a former player and a fan.
Oh, man.
Let me throw this at you, too, because the ratings for the NBA is down.
Yeah. I would say let's get back to where our best players are being creative again. I think we've allowed science and analytics to have too much of a say in how we play this game. What makes basketball a beautiful game is on a given night, you can watch an Anthony Edwards and a James Harden compete against each other, and you watch two different styles of play clash, and they're being creative. They're doing things that you never seen before. They're recreating the game, and then when you put analytics into it, that puts them as the same guy. You know, if they're both going to shoot 10 threes a night, 10 to 15 threes a night, where is that creativity? When does that shine? So I would beg for some of I'm gonna start with management, because a lot of teams, they hedge a lot of their bets on the analytics. Let's allow our players to be creative again. You know, analytics is great for a reference point, mm-hmm. but for it to be your playbook, for it to be your blueprint of how you're gonna go about things. Like, our greatest players in the game are mid-range assassins.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken the mid-range out of the game based on numbers.
Right. Right.
You know, and so where are those guys? Like, where does a DeMar DeRozan fit in this conversation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where do those style of players fit in today's game? Like, you telling me these teams shooting 40 and 50 threes a night, DeMar DeRozan don't have value? Like, I watched him hit 5 straight mid-range jumpers to win a game 3 weeks ago. And it was like, where is that? Like, you're not seeing it.
Right.
Then you got the foul game. If you're up 3-5, I'm going to ask you that question, because I absolutely hate that shit with a passion.
What, foul when you're up 3?
How you feel about that?
I never did that.
Why? Like, why would you foul this? But this is an analytical thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you ever foul when you're up 3 points to put pressure on yourself to make free throws?
Right.
At the end of the game, when you've done enough to have a 3-point lead.
No.
What is the science behind putting pressure on myself to make free throws to win a game that I'm already winning? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I'm up 3 points, I'm going to donate you two?
No.
So you can foul me back, and now.
Right. Then I got to make 2. Yeah.
Now my hand's shaking
to get back to the three
that I had.
Yeah.
And he's not alone in this frustration. Paul George put it bluntly.
There's been a lot of talk about the NBA product not being as enjoyable because of all the 3-point attempts. From a player's perspective, do you feel the same way? And what should the NBA do to make the game more appealing to fans who think it's not great?
Well, they can't complain about it now. I mean, analytics kind of took over the game being played from, like, coaches want 3-pointers or they want a layup or get to the free throw line. Like, you know, they might be one guy on the team that they allow to shoot mid-ranges or play in post or play in the mid-range area. You don't really see that too much in offense because everybody wants to shoot threes and get up as many threes because the analytics says threes obviously are more than twos, and the more threes you make, the better chances you have of scoring more points. I actually seen, I think it was on like ESPN or something, where they showed teams going back and forth and they kept missing and missing and missing and missing, shooting, just clanking up threes.
Yeah.
That did look bad. I'm not going to lie. Like, that did not look entertaining. It's the new NBA, man. It's the new NBA.
And that's the thing. Just because something is efficient doesn't mean it's exciting. Basketball didn't used to be this predictable.
And the glide that you've been asking.
In the past, superstars had unique identities. Shaq bullied you in the post. Iverson broke your ankles at the top of the key.
Shakes free, gets two.
Duncan banked shots off the glass like a surgeon. Now, everyone is being coached to play the same way, and that's why the NBA feels different. After Michael Jordan left, the league struggled to recapture that magic. Kobe and Shaq carried the torch in the early 2000s, but viewership never consistently reached Jordan-era highs. Even LeBron James, arguably the greatest player of his generation, couldn't replicate Jordan's cultural impact. Now, with international stars like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic leading the charge, the NBA's global reach has never been stronger. But in America, the connection is slipping. So, is the NBA dead? Not yet, but it's standing at a crossroads. If the league wants to thrive again, it needs to learn from its past while innovating for the future. The clock is ticking, and if the NBA doesn't make some changes soon, well, fans might just keep walking away.